At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
This is CBS Eye in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Chile, within these next days, a critical vote for the direction of Chile with its new president, President Boric, Gabriel Boric, a young man who has great ambitions. But in the meantime, part of the success of Boric in the polls comes from 2019, when there was turmoil and violence in Santiago and other cities over the direction of the country, inequities of the country. And since then, there's been an effort underway to write a new constitution. Well, this is the moment when the Chilean citizens will vote on whether they agree or disagree. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's columnist and editor for the Wall Street Journal editorial board, writing about this vote within hours. 54,000 words, nearly 400 codicils, certainly dwarfing the American constitution. And Mary, the polls say it's unpopular. Is that obvious after all that turmoil in 2019? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. I think the main point about this constitution writing project is that it was undertaken and, you know, voted for in a referendum, and the assembly was voted for, but during a time of heightened violence and terrorism around the country. So we have to keep that in mind when we look at what the final output was, which was delivered to the Chilean public on July the 4th. And for the last 2 months, there's been a kind of campaign inside the country between the yes vote, people who want to approve this new document, and the no vote, people who want to reject it. And you know, I think, as I described in my column on Monday, the big problem for the approval side is that the people who got control of the Constituent Assembly, a little bit over 150 different representatives, were very extreme fringe independent special interest candidates. They did not represent any kind of a middle in Chile. And so because of that, they had two-thirds, they had an enormous amount of power inside the assembly, and they just decided, we're going to do whatever we want, not thinking that, you know, there was a chance once this was taken to the public for a referendum, it might not pass, and that's what they're confronting now.
Parts of this, there are many moving parts. The one I seized on in your column immediately because of the threat of violence, the violence itself of the indigenous people throughout the region, not just in Chile, but it's mentioned there, is the Mapuche. I hope I say that correctly. The indigenous people are unhappy. But Mary, the whole idea, as I recall in 2019, was that the constitution as it was, the extant one, and the governments of Chile were unequal to the task of dealing with the Mapuche's needs and concerns. And this new constitution is as well. So what happened?
Well, I think that we have lots of evidence to show that race is often used by political actors to gain power. But it's not necessarily, those political actors are not necessarily working in the interests of the people they say they represent. And I think that's kind of what happened. I mean, there are activists, there are Mapuche activists who are very hard left, who are very extreme, who are very radical militants. But they do not represent the Mapuche people. They use the indigenous banner to, you know, justify their positions. But when you actually talk to Mapuche people, and I cite a very detailed study that was done, a survey that was done among Mapuche in the south of the country, you find that they tend to be pretty conservative. They want to be Chilean. They do not want to be cut off and put into their own little nations around the country of Chile. And you know, they have a long history of wanting to be Chilean. I mean, it's well known that when the referendum for whether General Pinochet should have remained in power or had to, you know, step down, the Mapuche region of the country voted very much in favor of him. So that tells you something about the way the Mapuche think of themselves inside of the country. And also, let's keep in mind, too, that the vast majority of Mapuche are what I would call culturally mestizo. In other words, they live in the modern world. They don't live in a sort of tribal indigenous way, like you might think of Mapuche 500 years ago. So, you know, they have their own hopes and dreams for themselves, for their children. You know, they want running water and flush toilets just like the rest of us. So, you know, these activist leaders often do not represent their interests.
President Boric rode to popularity from the same source of this constitutional rewrite, 2019. How is he judged now? Because he's been in office a very short time, and you evidence there's trouble that he's not answering. What is the opinion of him? Is his popularity plunging?
Oh, yeah, he's in real trouble. And I think that this constitutional experiment very much has his name all over it. I mean, it's not only him, it's, you know, the whole movement that brought him to power. But, you know, first of all, he has a fundamental problem in terms of governance. I mean, there's high inflation, the economy's not doing well, and there's a real serious crime problem in Chile. I mean, and similar to what happens in this country, the victims of those crime problems are not the well-to-do. They're the working class people who live in, you know, not so nice neighborhoods or working class neighborhoods. And they're the ones who are suffering the most from this runaway crime. And for all of those reasons, you know, his star has certainly faded. Now, the constitutional experiment, I would call it, very much has his name on it. So if it fails, it's a black eye for him. I'm not saying he can't recover. I think he could recover, but it will kind of depend on what he decides to do and what the more extreme wings of the Chilean political system that put him in power allow him to do. And if he suddenly decides, okay, listen, this is a message that I have to move to the middle. I have to do something about crime. I have to do something about spending. I have to do something about inflation. If he tries to do that, which is probably the best chance he has to recover his government, there are extreme wings of extreme elements in his movement that are going to resist that. And so that will be a big challenge for him.
Is the Constitution's favor or disfavor, does it become part of the story of the center-left successes? These last elections in Latin America, in South America, in the New World. You mentioned Venezuela, Bolivia, and Nicaragua, but we could add in Peru. We could add in what's going on in Brazil. This constitution, the rewrite, seems to come out of that. But is this a check on that populist wave?
Well, I would say that it's a check on the extreme left. It's not a check on the center left. And what's interesting about what's going on in Chile right now that I talked about in my column is that there have been a large number of important voices of establishment, people who have always been on the left in Chile, people who believe in more government intervention in the economy, more government spending, greater health care and education spending. And so all of those things that we think of from the left, but they are saying no to this constitution because they're saying this is insane. We want, you know, a center left government. We're social democrats, but this is insane. We're not going along with this, and this would actually ruin the country. And I think, you know, I mentioned before about the Mapuche not wanting to be cordoned off in these little Indian communities where they're not counted as citizens of Chile. And that's a widespread feeling among also the social democrats. They're saying, look, we don't want, they call it plurinationalism, which is that you create a bunch of little nations inside the country. And all of those nations have different legal systems. People have different rights under those systems. And the Social Democrats are saying, no, we're one country. We want to unify the country. And, you know, we have different ideas than the center right, but we want to be one country, Chile. And that's, I think, one of the biggest issues here that has unified a lot of people that are otherwise might be divided on this issue of the reject or approve the Constitution.
The polling indicates that it's very much to fail. But do we trust the polling, Mary? Because this is a small country and social media is tricky. We have about a minute.
Yeah, I agree with you. I was careful not to make a prediction in my column on Monday, because even though the polls have the reject vote about 10 percentage points ahead of approve, and some even wider than that, there remains supposedly a large undecided vote. So we just don't know. But I think that, the country is quite energized. Voting in Chile is mandatory. So if you don't vote, you supposedly pay a fine. It's not such that, people will feel, that they have to go or they're going to be dragged off to jail. It's not that bad, but it is mandatory. So I think that, turnout's going to matter a lot, but I think it may be a very close vote.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady writing about within these next days, we'll have a decision in Chile about the future of this 54,000-word Constitution draft. Mary is at the Wall Street Journal editorial board. She writes the America's column. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.